Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Okay, welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We appreciate you tuning in today. I know there's a lot going on with Christmas plans, etc. And this is a busy, busy time of year for all. As we normally do here at the start of each show, I want to remind you that just because you hear of a strategy or two today on the air, a tax strategy, or we talk about some potential investment syndication transactions, please don't run out and dive in to any or the or all of the above, but first consult with your existing advisors, be it legal, tax, real estate, investment, etc., and let's make sure that what you thought you heard is in fact applicable to your facts and circumstances. Got just a few news items that I wanted to call to your attention, and I've posted these articles, or links to these articles rather, out on our companion website. It's beaplannershow.com. Resources page is where you can find these. And I'm sorry, I did forget to tell you that any of you that are listening today that say, hey, I don't really have any existing advisors that I can connect with on these topics, will you guys take me on as a client potentially? And I guess the answer to that is always a resounding maybe. We very well may, but we need to learn more about you. So the way we do that, it's very simple, doesn't take too much time, is go to our primary website, which is beaplanner.com. That's beaplanner.com, and top right the navigation area, you'll see a forms link. It's got four steps to it, or four forms. If you would fill out even the first one, the client profile form, it'll give us enough information where we can have a introductory phone call with you, which you can schedule by going to the rightmost link right next to the form link and schedule a call. And I don't mandate that you fill out those forms before our call, but if you'll fill out the forms, we can talk with more specifics in our answers than we might otherwise if we don't know anything about you. It's pretty hard for us to know how we might work on some tax planning strategies or help you find transactions that fit your objectives. And by the way, I guess I should start off each show by telling you what we do or what we don't do, and I'll tell you it's pretty clear. We don't sell investments. We don't recommend investments. We basically help you analyze transactions that you may have run across or that we may discuss on the air. But the aim or the goal in what we do for our clients is to help you understand what you're signing up for if you move forward with a specific transaction. And again, you don't give us your money to go invest on your behalf. You invest your own money, but we try to give you our informed guidance on real estate private partnership transactions, be they small apartment transactions with four or five people putting their money together, or maybe you alone buying say, like I've got an 8-unit property, you can bite that off on your own in most cases. But in any event, understanding the stack of documents, the private placement memorandum, if it's a transaction with, you know, larger transactions with other investors, and you've got a lead partner, sponsor, syndicator, it's all pretty much the same role involved. Well, then likely, if you're just tuning in for the first time, or you've been listening for several weeks, but you have not pulled the trigger yet on any investments, you probably don't know what you're up against. And I would encourage you, you know, get a set of documents, express interest in a transaction just for the sake of getting the document stack, so you can start looking at those creatures and you can understand more. When I say we want to help you understand what you're signing up for, well, there's a lot to that. But in any event, if we turn to the news articles out on the BAPlannerShow.com on the resources page, and then under resources news, you're going to see that there's, I don't know, four or five new articles since a week ago, and we've got one. I was just posting another update about a title company and title or in system hacks. Be careful for those of you that are in the process of buying or selling a home. Pay attention when you get links. Make sure it's your title company that's involved, and make sure your money is going to the title company and not to some hacker's bank account. But in any event, First American is the one that fell prey this time. I believe the one we reported about a month ago was Fidelity, which Fidelity is the back office or front office, whatever the case may be. They got a lot of other title companies under them, and that was a big deal when they got hacked and were down for, I believe, several days. In any event, again, just be careful. It's a lot of money when it's your home. Even if it's a rental home, it's still a lot of money in most cases that you cannot afford to lose. Second article is about the most active markets. Let's see here. Where I've got this article. Okay, I've got it pulled up here. New York is finally coming back strong. They've got the fullest pipeline, I guess you might say, with 20,000 units under construction in Brooklyn alone. And it's crazy how many housing units are just in Brooklyn. 480,000 units. That's almost as many as the entirety of the city of Houston. I think Houston's got 600 plus units, but in any event, 20,000 units, as they point out in the article, will only add 4% to the inventory, and they're expected that their let's see, is their population growing by the same proportion? It says let's see, I'll only add 4% to the neighborhood's inventory. Queens, another borough in New York, will grow by the same proportion, as 10,000 new units are coming on there. So that's 30,000 units, almost 31,000, I guess, just for two boroughs in New York. That's a lot of units to drop into the mix. I assume there's people to absorb those. I need to try to get some info on the number of people moving back in, or new people, etc. Let's see. Jersey City's got good activity. 12,000 units coming into that market. Let's see. Let's get out of the New York, the Northeast area. Look at Phoenix. Phoenix has 13,500 new units coming into the Avondale, Goodyear, West Glendale area, adding 58% to the area's current 23,500 units. It's a relatively small submarket. The Allen-McKinney area in Dallas and central Nashville are also seeing rapid growth in their current inventories. In any event, it's good to see the activity, and of course, none of this means anything if you're not investing in those markets, but this is the kind of information you want to stay up to speed on. And you know, we track the markets primarily that our radio show plays in. So most of the Texas markets, you know, Houston, San Antonio, we're currently on stations there. Obviously, we're broadcasting on Houston right now. But we hope to be in Dallas soon, and maybe we'll add Austin. But our clients are invested in all the above in Texas. And so we track absorption, average rental growth rates, and, I don't know, 16, 17, 18 other math metrics from month to month, and it gives us a sense for whether or not the pro forma data that we see in the private placement memorandums and promotional materials that our clients send to us is in the rational range, given what else is going on in the market. Because let me tell you, and I'm still working on some rule of thumb and some metrics. I hope to start discussing more about the topic of pricing, valuation, etc. And I'm referring to what you're paying when you invest in these partnerships, because it's all over the board as to what the pricing is of the investment itself. And you know, when you realize there's nobody representing you in these transactions. So how a syndicator comes up with the price per investment unit is totally unregulated. And there's ample warnings and admonishments in the documents, not because the syndicator wants to include those, but because it's mandated by the SEC to alert you and advise you that there's no arm's length negotiations taking place with respect to what that pricing looks like. And so we're working on trying to come up with some valuation. I don't want to call them rules. I guess they're going to be observations where you can see from certain syndicators and certain markets, you know, city, states, et cetera, across the country, this is where they're at relative to the dollar of cash flow that, you know, a passive investor might get. We're going to try to shed some light on that, because I think you're going to be intrigued a bit. Intrigued may be not strong enough word. You may be frustrated with the range that these metrics seem to portend. And there's no black and white, no right or wrong. It's just, you know, there's differences that you need to understand if you're the one cutting the check for that investment. In any event, let's do this. Let's go take our first break, and we'll return momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto you.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at NPRoss.com. Nathan at NPRoss.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Big dreams and faded dreams.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We hope you'll have a great Christmas holiday here. I guess it's already started from the appearances. I know I tried to call a title company today, and you would have thought it was a ghost town in terms of how many different extensions it took me to finally reach somebody. I'm sure they were probably working from home, but I tell you, man, it's hard this time of year. And of course, this is the time of year when there's a lot of tax related or real estate related transactions trying to take place. So it makes it frustrating. I was just talking about an article that was out on Globe Street talking about the most active apartment markets, and there was a comment, the last sentence in that article that I thought was, telling. I mean, generally it's good news. We talked about a few of the specific markets, some of the examples of the volume of new units coming into the pipeline, and it says that about 13% of the 750 submarkets across the nation's 50 largest had no construction undertaking, only 13% as of third quarter, equating to about 100 submarkets. That means there's some pretty pervasive development going on out there, and that's part and parcel the some of the challenges that the existing owners have, because you've got interest rates. You're fighting on at least four different fronts. You've got interest rate challenges. If you've had an adjustable rate mortgage, you're paying more either in mortgage reserves or your actual debt service has gone up. So that's a killer. And by the way, it doesn't take it going up much before your cash flow is gone. So that means lower or no distributions out to the partners. And then collaterally, another lender-related issue is that there's a lot of debt that's coming to the mature phase where it's going to need to be refinanced. There were a ton of three-year bridge loan structures with potentially 2 1-year extensions being available at a percent per year, of course. It's not just a matter of you calling your lender and saying, hey, yeah, I'll take one of those extensions. It's like, well, get your checkbook out because you're getting ready to stroke a big one to be able to get that extra year, or maybe 2 years if you go into the second. But so you've got the challenge of refinancing, and that's probably going to be the biggest issue that's going to be most problematic in the multifamily market, is the debt deals that need to be refinanced. It couldn't come at a worse time for some operators. Their occupancies are down. They may be underwater already on the monthly cash flow. So that's a big challenge. You've got rising insurance rates, which the increase in insurance cost alone has wiped out a massive amount of potential distribution monies that could have gone out to investors. And then if that's not enough, then you've got all these new units coming into the market. So now you're going to have to fight even harder if you're an owner-operator to maintain your occupancy. So, you know, it's a tumultuous time for multifamily operators, and it puts the onus on you if you're looking to invest your money, which now is a great time to be, if not getting your capital stage, you know, finding transactions that make sense to actually get started with, because we got a period here for probably about a year where there's going to be some low-hanging fruit to be had. But just because an operator's in trouble doesn't mean it's a great deal to invest in. So you've got to look under the covers, got to analyze the math very carefully to make sure that the pro formas are valid, the assumption sets, the rental growth or decline rates, as the case may be. And, you know, this is, after all, in most cases with our clients, this is your retirement money. So this is setting the stage. This could be the sweetest time you'll have in some time with regard to opportunities. Could be the most productive opportunities if you buy right. Or you could buy on the wrong side of that curve and end up losing money more rapidly than you might otherwise. But bottom line, the multifamily space clearly has significant opportunities, whether market's going up or going down. But, you know, it's investor beware in terms of figuring out some of these nuances. In light of that, let's look at the next article, and I think I've probably already given away some of the thunder here. Why maintaining multifamily occupancy will be tough next year. And let me see if there were any challenges mentioned in this article that I didn't just already happen upon. But I guess the notable quote towards the top, it's a quote by Yardi Matrix. That's Yardi is a software system in the multifamily market, and they survey their users, which are also apartment owners. And the quote is, "We are no longer in a rising tide lifts all boats market," end quote. And boy, you can say that again, because the market is more than just rental rates. You know, it's like I say, the interest rates that are leaking up due to the Fed changing the Fed funds rate, and then you know, insurance costs. I left off property taxes. That's another challenge. Property taxes are up everywhere we look, it seems like. But in any event, it does talk about the big and growing issue of loan maturities. And, you know, it's such a circular equation. You know, as the loans come due and properties qualify for proceeds on a refinance that are less than the existing mortgages, therein lies the real prop. And that can be solved with cash calls, and we've seen a lot of those come out from the lead partner to our client base. And, you know, we've got at best, we've got mixed feelings about cash calls, and we tell you, you've got to carefully understand the metrics of what will happen with or without the cash call. I mean, if you've got a syndicator that's strong enough that he or she will step in and make the cash call, your worst case scenario might just be that your owner interest will be diluted pro rata. But, you know, the worst case is the syndicator's not strong enough, doesn't have the capital, and you could lose the property. You could lose every penny you've got invested in it. So you've got to understand what the odds are on both sides of that equation, and understand, you know, how it affects you, not just with regard to this one property. How does it affect your own retirement wealth that you're trying to create? And, you know, everybody's in a little different position, it seems. You know, you may be knocking on the door to retirement. You may already be in retirement, but not yet need the funds from one or more of these partnerships that you're invested in. And others may be right in the throes of, you know, I need my money to live now. And so this is just, you know, it's not wonderful news in any event, but it's horrible news if you're in a deal like that. And on the other hand, you may have just gotten cashed out of a deal that sold at a gain, because we've certainly had those across our client base. And so now you're sitting on some money, and you're looking for new transactions to jump into. But in any event, market reset is taking place, likely higher acquisition yields, higher financing cost, and lower leverage and lower valuations are all part and parcel of that reset. So anyway, Yardi does say, and this is optimistic, I think, that we expect rent growth will be positive in 2024, but diminished by slowing absorption, supply growth, and declining affordability compared to 2021 and 2022. And I say that's pretty much a universal assessment in the multifamily market. But in any event, there's more details in this article. It's not a very long article at all if you want to take a look at that. I think that's all of our articles that I want to talk about this week. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and take our second break, and then when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the self-directed 401 trust, which is one of our flagship strategies we use with our clients. We'll be right back with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program?
BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we're going to pivot now and talk about the self-directed 401 trust option, otherwise known, the marketing term is Solo K. And you probably, if you have an IRA at any one of a number of IRA custodians, you'll note that they reference Solo Ks at times. Most of them will sell you a set of documents. They don't necessarily understand what's in the documents. They certainly don't understand some of the more valuable strategies that, if properly drafted, the 401 trust can provide you, like Roth conversions and the valuation metrics for doing a Roth conversion, which is a major, major opportunity. But the bigger opportunity is just the Solo K itself, or what I call the self-directed 401 trust, gives you the ability to direct your 401k money. Now, this assumes that you've been able to roll your 401k over from the typical big company 401k plan, and maybe not a big company, but a standard 401 plan that is probably administered by somebody like a Schwab or Fidelity or UBS, you know, on behalf of the employer. And before you start thinking, well, no, I can't do that because I'm still working. I'm not retired. I'm not 59 and a half, and I haven't left my employer. And those are the other ways that you can do what I'm suggesting, which is undertake a self-directed 401. But if you live in the great state of Texas and you're married, then you do have the ability to roll your 401 over, not directly, but it's through an indirect route using a legal strategy that's referred to as a QUADRO, a Qualified Domestic Relations Order. And you don't have to get a divorce. Many of you may have heard the term QUADRO or experienced it because you got a divorce at one point, and that was the official document that the judge signs to split or repartition retirement assets. Well, you don't have to have a divorce in play to use that same legal strategy, and so we use that routinely with our clients that, you know, again, either husband or spouse is working, you know, has a decent-sized 401 account, but would like to invest it in things other than the stock market or mutual funds or T-bills, etc. And perhaps you've gone to local real estate club meetings, investor or mentor platforms. We've got several notable ones in the Texas market, and Phoenix has at least one of those chapters there, and I know Seattle has some more of a transitory meeting with one of the large national groups out of Houston. But bottom line is, you know, you've started looking, you like the hype, and I'm going to call it hype irrespective of what they say on their radio show each day. Trust me, the hype never ends. There's a word missing when they start off their show by saying where the hype ends. Trust me, the hype never ends. And I speak from experience. I was a part of that organization for 18 years. I was the very first vendor in that organization's vendor program before there was a vendor program. And so, again, I know whereof I speak, and I'm not being negative. I'm being real. And I'll tell you that if you've got the extra $20,000 to $25,000 laying around, and you like being part of a club as you invest, go for it. It's got value. And I can tell you exactly where the value is, and I can tell you exactly where the hype is with little, if any, value. And you can decide based on that if you still agree you should invest. I can tell you some people should absolutely invest, and I'm not going to get into those reasons on the air, but if you want to know why I feel so strongly for and against, feel free to schedule that phone call that I mentioned out at the BAPlanner.com website. That's BEAPLANNER.com. And happy to get into specifics with you. I've been a member of several investor/mentor platforms, and I feel like I got value out of each of them. Maybe not value that I would be willing to pay for again if I had my choice. Sometimes you learn more about what you don't want to get involved with, and you can attribute a monetary value to that because you learn something without having to spend money than you might otherwise have. And so I'm going to tell you, you know, look back with fondness if you figured something out by virtue of spending more money than you would have had you known, because that didn't necessarily mean you lost money. But in any event, I do like some of the platforms across the country for assorted reasons. And, you know, when you're a new investor and you're dealing with some of the SEC rules, it's good to have choices. And a lot of times, if you're on your own, as an example, if you're a accredited investor, which means your net worth is greater than $1 million, or you earn more than $200,000 or $300,000 a year, depending on your status as single or joint, you've got a lot more options. But if you're non-accredited, meaning you're net worth is under the $1 million mark. And by the way, you do not count the equity in your home for that calculation. You'll find that you have fewer choices. It's not to say you have no choices. I know of syndicators that reach out to, or I shouldn't say they reach out. They're actually prohibited from reaching out. You've got to go the other way. You got to find them. But in any event, they offer transactions under the 506B, as in boy, provision of the crowdfunding statute, Rule 5. And so you can participate once you can establish that you're sophisticated. And one way you establish that is you work with someone like us, a CPA, that has significant knowledge base and history with real estate private partnership syndications. And by the way, I not only consult on those animals, you know, I help you understand what you're signing up for. I too am invested in, I don't know, I've lost track, somewhere north of 5,000 units, I believe. I haven't added them up lately, but 5,000 units and somewhere north of $500 million in total value. I'm not going to treat that like I hear some of the platforms do that make it sound like you say you own that many. No, I am an owner in that many, along with several hundred other people at a minimum. And I'll just tell you, just as an aside, when you go to these investor meetings and you go to some case studies and you hear people say, well, you know, I own 2,000 doors, you know, that'll be a common expression. That's how they delineate their multifamily investors or investments. Just remember, you know, ask them, well, did you forget the word "and," or did you literally buy 2,000 doors on your own? Because nobody does that, okay? Very well, I'm not going to say anybody has purchased 2,000. Now, there's a lot of people like me that are a member in partnerships that have that and much more. But, you know, you need to have people, I think, be accountable when they talk like that, because out of one side of their mouth, these organizations talk about not appearing to be something you're not. You know, don't go borrow money to drive a Mercedes, in other words. Don't, you know, put off the, you know, the lifestyle look and feel that you don't really have because you think that creates credibility. And yet, on the other hand, they turn right around and talk in the manner of, you know, being a an owner in 8 bazillion units, and that's just not reality. So anyway, but bottom line is the 506B type of offering, there are a couple of platforms that's what their focus is. And so it's not to say that if you're an accredited investor, you're locked out of those transactions. No, it's quite the contrary. You're automatically able to invest. There's no limit on the number of accredited investors. There's a limit of 35 of the non-accredited type that can or that are allowed in those transactions. And, you know, I've heard the different platforms explain these rules, but I think they lead to more confusion oftentimes than they solve. So, you know, if you've got those questions, feel free to call us. And, you know, I'm not going to stay on the phone with you for hours teaching you these things, unless you're a client. If you're a client of mine, okay, we're there. But in any event, you know, we feel honored that, you know, we understand our way around these transactions. And we're hopeful of keeping you from being exploited, because that's unfortunately what happens in many cases. And it's not necessarily the investment, it's on other fronts. You know, some of the, as examples, some of the tax advice that you're going to hear, excuse me, you know, you'll hear people tell you that you should just cash out your 401. Don't listen to what this crazy accountant's saying. I mean, far be it for you to keep an extra 30 or 40% of your family's net worth that's represented in that 401k plan at your employer. Far be it from you keeping that chunk of money working in syndicated investments instead of working in the IRS's coffers. And I don't know, you know, the IRS that I know pretty well as a CPA does not give you a very big return on the money we send in to them. In fact, I believe it's still zero. Last time I checked, you get zero back. Whereas if you put that money alternatively into several more partnerships that are buying apartments, maybe not right at the moment, but certainly when things normalize, you should be able to generate somewhere between 10 and 30% per year. At least that's historically what I've seen with an awful lot of our clients. And, you know, unfortunately, when you hear the tall tales that are told on other radio shows about what their programs allow you to generate, you're hearing anomalies that have been converted to a mainstream story to make it sound like every transaction generates some huge returns, and it's just not the case. Most of the transactions, in fact, don't generate huge returns. Not to say they lose money. It's just to say that, you know, there's a big difference between something that generates in the current market maybe a 5 or 6% annual return, and then at the end, hopefully there's a gain, but, you know, if you average that out over the years, you're not going to get anywhere near to the 20 or 30% range that you would think all of them achieve if you listen to the hype that you hear on shows like the one just after ours. You know, I've heard forever, seems like the high returns that that program generates. And truthfully, there are certain transactions that will generate that. I can say firsthand that that's the case, but it's by no means the majority. And I guess that's all I'm trying to get you to understand, is that you really have to understand, again, what you're signing up for, what are the odds, what are the assumption sets that are getting used, what's the syndicator's track record, have they been to the finish line before on a value-add transaction, or is this one a yield play, and if so, what are the metrics there? Are we still going to spend some money on capital improvements, or is it, you know, 94% occupied and there's no reason to touch it? But what does that do to our returns, since we typically would expect to make more of a return on the value add projects that we buy, you know, beat up old Class C buildings and renovate them and bring the rents up to market. But in any event, so back to the self-directed 401 trust. So the idea is we roll money. If you're married, or you've got to be living in the state of Texas, got to be married, happily so, I might stress, given the nature of this strategy, you can repartition those 401 assets over to your spouse. Your spouse can then roll that into a solo K, assuming you qualify. There are several requirements. One requirement is that you have to have some self-employment income, even a side gig that's significant enough. I like to use 100 hours per year as the metric. That's not the end of the world. That means you spend 8 hours a month doing something that can show a profit at some point. You know, there's no amount specified. It can be an Etsy shop. It can be a Uber driving stint. It can be a number of things. You know, it could involve real estate. You could do some wholesaling. You could do some flipping. There's multiple ways of satisfying that self-employment requirement. And when you look at the money that you not only can save in taxes, but you can generate in retirement wealth, a little trouble, you know, scuttle your appetite for success, or it shouldn't. And we can talk about some of the different side gigs that our clients have undertaken, and then I can probably give you some ideas that you haven't thought of. But in any event, I'm going to tell you, don't fall for the, oh, you should just pay the tax because you're going to make so much money going forward with our program that you won't miss, I don't know, 30 or 40% of your net worth. And by the way, how about we make twice as much as what you might be able to otherwise by keeping those funds at work, where you still don't fall for the line that, you know, the classic 401k is only something you pay, it doesn't pay you. Well, no, that may be true of the big company plans. It's certainly not of the self-directed model. You can literally set up a recurring payment out of your self-directed 401k a week after you do the rollover. So, you know, that kind of advice, it reminds me of the Red Adair quote that we've got out on our website at baplanner.com. And that quote is, Red Adair, of course, is the famous oil and gas, firefighter that's passed on here several years ago. But he used to say, if you think the professionals are expensive, just try the amateurs. And I'm going to tell you, I think of that every time I get a phone call from someone that's attended a free case study or a two-day workshop at, you know, the aforementioned platforms, and they say, well, you know, I'm here and I should just go ahead and cash it out. And it's like, well, that's amateur tax advice. And if you want to give away 30 or 40% of your net worth, again, go for it. But we say there's a better way. And I would even submit that if you really feel like you need to pay some tax, I've got a deal for you. I'll show you how to get your money rolled over, and then we'll do a Roth conversion after you get it invested in these real estate private partnership syndications, and you'll be able to convert to Roth at a fraction of what you would have converted to had you done it when your money was still sitting in the big company 401k plan at Schwab or UBS or Fidelity. Because when you convert at that point, the calculation base of calculating your Roth conversion tax is whatever the market value is at the end of business today. So if you've got Apple stock, it's whatever Apple stock's selling for at the end of the day, whereas if you've got an interest in a private partnership syndication, like an apartment building, it's based on a private company, and private companies are valued differently than New York or NASDAQ stock exchange traded companies. Significant discounts apply because you can't sell your ownership interest until the lead partner or syndicator, sponsor, as it were, says we're going to sell. So you've got a 20 to 25% discount if you look at the recent cases that IRS has settled on or agreed to or lost. And then there's assorted other discounts. There's a list of 20 some odd discounts at the beginning of every PPM you ever will look at on these types of investments. So just think of it as a significant discount to what I paid for my investment is available, and that helps you get your money over to the Roth again at a fraction of what you're going to pay if you liquidate your pre-tax assets, and then you're going to pay tax the rest of your life on those returns off those investments if you don't get it into Roth. Okay, well, we're at the end of the show. We appreciate you tuning in. We will be back on Sunday, 7 a.m. for those of you that would like to pick up here, and we hope you can join us.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.